Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gant, and for the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. And if you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send messages to the show on Twitter at GoForItGant. And while you're there on Twitter, give me a follow at GoForItGant. Great show lined up for you today. We will be joined by the Babineau brothers, Jordan and Jonathan, co-executive producers of Woman, Thou Art Loose, the seventh day. Great, great movie. If you saw the first one, you probably will enjoy this one. That movie is in theaters now, in select theaters now. So, I mean, we're going to talk to them about that great movie as they are co-executive producers of this film. We're also going to be joined by Devere Posey, wide receiver for the Ohio State University, former wide receiver, I should say, as he prepares for the upcoming NFL draft. We're also going to be joined by Zebre Sanders, offensive tackle, Florida State, former offensive tackle, Florida State, as he prepares for the upcoming NFL draft. And we're also going to be joined by Hall of Fame inductee, the newest Hall of Fame inductee, the one, the only, Willie Rofe. And we're going to bring him in, talk some football with Willie. So we got a good show lined up for you today. The Babineau brothers, Devere Posey, Zebre Sanders, and the great Willie Rofe. I want to start now with Ozzie Guillen. This past week, if you know, I think everybody knows at this point, Ozzie Guillen was suspended 5 games by the Florida Marlins for his comments in the Time Magazine article about Fidel Castro. He talked about praise. He basically praised and respected. He said he praised and respected Fidel Castro for staying in power for 60 years. And that's a no-no. Hey, you can't say that. You cannot say that. And here's the reality of the situation. Here's the bottom line. When it comes to certain guys like Adolf Hitler and Fidel Castro, these are the type of guys that you cannot say anything positive about because of some of the bad things they have done in their lives to people. You cannot talk positively about these guys. And the reality is when you do something like that, you run into trouble, and Ozzie Guillen has ran into trouble. And Ozzie Guillen has been known throughout the course of the years for running his mouth and for saying some things. And the media loves him for that. The media loves him because of his candor, because of the meltdowns you may get with this guy. I mean, Ozzie Guillen is known for saying some interesting things. And I think, to be honest with you, 5 games is enough. I know various Cuban-American groups in the Miami area are calling for Guillen to be suspended or even fired, excuse me. And I say, you know what, he made the comments, but he was contrite. He did apologize. He seemed very apologetic about his comments. And I got the sense he really didn't understand the magnitude of what he said. He didn't understand the magnitude of his comments. So, and I think in saying that, I think 5 games is enough. I think he's learned his lesson. Granted, if he does it again, obviously you got to get rid of the guy. You got to fire the guy. If he makes comments like that again, you got to fire the guy. I know he's made comments in the past about homosexuals as well, And so he's known for making various comments. He's known for doing that. I mean, that's the Isaac Ging in a lot of ways, like I said before, we all know, and that we all know, love. We all know and that we all love. And so you look at Isaac Ging, you look at this whole situation, and I'm saying to myself, in some respect, this is kind of hypocrisy for Major League Baseball in a lot of ways. And granted, Major League Baseball is not the one who suspended Isaac Ging. The Florida Marlins suspended Isaac Ging. But you know what? Interesting thing. Do you remember back in 1999, I'm taking this, some of this information from the great Phil Mushnick of the New York Post, and I kind of forgot about this, but you remember when the Orioles went to Cuba to play the Cuban national team, to play basically Fidel's team. They went to Cuba to play Fidel's team, and that's the Cuban national team. So I remember that. I remember that very clearly. And I look at it now, you know, Bud Selig did sit next to Fidel Castro. So in some respect, by you going over to Cuba, taking your product over to Cuba, are you in some respect legitimizing Fidel Castro? And in some respect, is this hypocrisy that you're now blasting Ozzie Ging? Well, again, Major League Baseball did not suspend Ozzie Ging. The Marlins did. But is it hypocrisy on some level? And they can always say, you know what? Major League Baseball did not suspend. They did not suspend Ozzie Ging. The Miami Marlins did. His own team suspended him. But you look at it, and I think you have to ask, and Phil Mushnick pointed this out greatly in his article, maybe you need to ask Bud Selig about Fidel Castro, how he feels about him. And the reality is, Selig had and was in Cuba, and the Orioles, which is a Major League Baseball team, was in Cuba as well back in 1999. So in some respect, that to me shows that you're sort of okay with Fidel Castro on some level. You're okay with him on some level. And I'm not saying Bud Selig is all for the atrocities and some of the bad things that Fidel Castro has done throughout the course of his life and throughout the course of his reign in Cuba. But what I'm saying is, on some respect, are we being a tad hypocritical here? Or are we being a little hypocritical here? And again, Ozzie Ging, you cannot say that about, you cannot say that any good things about Fidel Castro. You cannot say any good things about Adolf Hitler. You cannot say those things in a public forum. You cannot say it. And so maybe in some respect, this will be a learning lesson for Ozzie Ging. Maybe Ozzie Ging will now understand the importance of thinking before you speak and watching some of the things that you say. Because it's very important to think before we speak. Because if you don't think before you speak, sometimes you say things like Fidel Castro and talk about how you admire a Fidel Castro. When you don't think before you speak, you say stupid things just like that. And when you say stupid things like that, you almost cost yourself your job. And again, and you feel sorry for the Marlins on some level because this was a great situation for them. You have a Latino manager. You have a guy now. You have the Marlins now with the new stadium and everything. And so this was a great way to kind of open all these things up, new manager, new stadium, new players in Florida, Jose Reyes, the name one player that they brought in this offseason. I mean, they spent some money in Miami. They got the manager. And, again, you got the new ballpark. So this was a great time, in some respect, to be a Florida Marlins fan. And granted, Miami as a whole is a horrible sports town. Let's be clear about that. I mean, you go, you watch the Heat. I mean, you see why, if you watch the Heat games on TV, you see that no one is there. You see that no one, you see a lot of red seats. And I'm saying to myself, goodness gracious, I mean, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, LeBron James, And guess what? You have empty seats in that building. That's not a good sports town. That is not a good sports town. It's almost like it's a waste having those guys, Bosh and Wade and LeBron. It's almost like they don't deserve those stars. Almost like you almost want to say a team like, or a city like the Cleveland Cavaliers, or Cleveland, I should say, deserve that. They deserve that. They're a city who deserves that more so than Miami. More so than Miami. So, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about the situation. But again, five games is good for Ozzie Guillen and for this situation. Five games is good enough, in my opinion. And hopefully Ozzie will be smart moving forward. And we'll watch what he says before he says it. You know what I'm saying? You got to do that. You got to do that at this point. Otherwise, after this comment and after the comments you made in the past, it's going to ultimately cost you your job. So you got to be smart in what you say. Say what you need to say, but be smart in saying it. Be smart in saying it. And that's all the advice I have for you, Mr. Ozzie Guillen. Be smart in some of the things that you say, and watch what you say. And before you say it, make sure you have thought it through. Okay? Enough said. I want to move on now to the NBA, and I want to move on more specifically to Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard went out to Los Angeles yesterday, and reports were that what's coming out is he has a herniated disc in his lower back. I've heard some reports he could be out 14 to 16 days. Some reports it's just an indefinite time period. And so you look at Dwight Howard now in the Orlando Magic. A lot of things been going on with that franchise. I mean, you had the situation a few weeks back. Stan Van Gundy came out and said, you know what, somebody in management, I know Dwight Howard wants me fired. So he brought that out to the public, and then you had Dwight Howard putting his arms, around Stan Van Gundy shortly after he said those comments. I mean, it was just a surreal scene in Orlando. But a lot of things going on with the Magic throughout the course of this season with those things in terms of Dwight Howard. Do I want to go? Do I want to stay? I want to stay. I want to go. Now I want to stay for good and to stay now for another year, so on and so forth. A lot of crazy things. But this is a bad situation for the Orlando Magic. And in a lot of ways, you look at the Orlando Magic, there are not too many players on that team that can create their own shot. The only person you're looking at who really can create their own shot on that ball club, you have Jameer Nelson. And with Jameer Nelson is flowing, the Magic are flowing. And he's had an off year. He's had an off year for the Magic. But when he's flowing, the Magic's flow. But Jameer Nelson's a guy who can do some things off the dribble. You had Hedo Turkoglu, a guy that can do some things off the dribble. But now you have Turkoglu, who's out for the rest of the regular season. So you missed that part. And so you got a team right now that's going to struggle with Dwight Howard out. They're going to struggle with Dwight Howard out. They'll probably still make the playoffs. I don't see it going that bad. I mean, you're pretty late into the season. They're 34-29. They have six more games left. So they'll hold on to their playoff seeding. Maybe not. They may go down a little bit. Actually, I think they'll stay. I mean, they're at six right now. Knicks are three games behind them. Philly, three games behind them. I see them probably staying at six. I don't see them going past six. But they're a far different team without Dwight Howard. And they were blown out by the Atlanta Hawks yesterday. Again, without Dwight Howard. And I believe these past few games without Howard, they've been struggling as well. Not believe, they have been struggling without Dwight Howard in the mix and him on the sidelines. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the Magic. If they can get Dwight Howard back, and that's going to be a big if at this point, if they can get him back, I mean, they're a dangerous team in the playoffs. I'm not calling them a championship team, but they can play with the big boys in the East. I mean, they beat Miami this year. They beat Chicago in Chicago this year. So they have proven that they can play with the big boys in the Eastern Conference. But, again, without Dwight Howard, and we don't know how healthy he will be when he comes back or if he comes back this season. So we'll have to see how that whole situation transpires. Last three games without Howard, they've been 1-3, two losses, one to the Wizards and one to the Atlanta Hawks last night. Again, they got blown out by the Hawks. But this was a team that a few weeks back was playing some good basketball, and then they went on a five-game losing streak, and then the whole situation, well, during the five-game losing streak, the whole situation came out with Stan Van Gundy, Dwight Howard, and Stan Van Gundy making his comments and so on and so forth. But you look at the Orlando Magic, they are in trouble right now. This is a ball club that is in trouble. But again, I think even with Dwight Howard out, I think they'll be able to hold on to the third spot. And they're holding on to that third spot. I guess they probably will be playing, if they hold on to their third spot and the Pacers hold on to their third spot, they probably will be playing the Pacers in the first round of the playoffs. And not a bad matchup for the Orlando Magic. You avoid the big boys in Chicago and Miami. You avoid those guys. I mean, those are the big boys, Chicago and Miami. And you avoid them. And that's big. You avoid those guys. I mean, the Pacers, for as good as they have been this year, you would like to play them in the playoffs. They are a young team. They are a young team, but they're a young, talented team. And I talked about the Pacers in the beginning of this year. I said that that was a ball club that you had to look out for. You had to look out for that ball club because of the addition of a guy like a David West, because of a George Hill you bring in the offseason, the progression of a Roy Hibbert and a Collison, and also Danny Granger, who's a very good scorer in this league. I mean, the Indiana Pacers were a team I expected to be where they're at. I expected them to be a very good team this season. And I loved, I was in love with the David West signing, and absolutely in love with that signing. But I will say this, if they stay at three, they're three games over the Boston Celtics, two games over the Atlanta Falcons. If they stay at three, which I think they will, and the Magic stay at six, which I think they will, that's a favorable matchup for the Orlando Magic. That's a favorable matchup for those guys. And that's a series that they can win. That's a series that they can win. But again, if Dwight Howard is not healthy, it don't matter who they play. It don't matter who they play. If Dwight Howard is not healthy, it doesn't matter. It truly does not matter. And that's the bottom line. If Dwight Howard is not 100%, or if Dwight Howard is not the Dwight Howard that we all know and love, then guess what? The reality of the situation is this. The Orlando Magic are going to go out in the first round. But if they have Dwight Howard, he's healthy, ready to go, even Turkoglu, if Turkoglu can come back, be healthy and ready to go, well, you have a different story here. You have a dangerous team in Orlando, especially the way they shoot the three ball. I mean, they in some respect, they live and die by it. But now with Dwight Howard out, they're going to be shooting a lot more of it. Unfortunately, those threes that they're going to be taking now are probably going to be contested threes because you don't have that guy that requires a double team in Dwight Howard. You don't have that guy no more. So you miss a lot of things. You miss what he does on the offensive end and the attention that he draws on the offensive end. You miss what he does on the boards, and you miss what he does on the defensive end in terms of shot blocking and guarding the basket. You're missing three important things with Dwight Howard out of the lineup. So with Dwight Howard out of the lineup, the Orlando Magic, bottom line, point blank, are going to struggle. They are going to struggle. And there's no getting around that. Now, who knows? I mean, we figured the Chicago Bulls would struggle without Derrick Rose. But they're playing some good basketball without Derrick Rose and have been playing some good basketball without him throughout the course of this season. So maybe the Magic will now come together and say, you know what, let's fight for these final six games and get ourselves ready for the playoffs, and let's just be unified as a ball club. We know what we have to do. We know what our situation, we know what we're up against. We know what we need to do, and let's just try to get it done. Let's get together like the Bulls have. And granted, the Bulls have a little more talent than the Orlando Magic. And you watch that game Thursday night, Miami Heat, Chicago Bulls, and the play of C.J. Watson, who really got it done for the Chicago Bulls and has been getting it done for the Chicago Bulls since Derrick Rose has went down. He's really been getting it done for the Chicago Bulls. And you look at that game the other day, C.J. Watson hit some big-time shots. Some big-time shots against the Miami Heat. In a game that you watched it, LeBron James had an opportunity to put the game away at the free throw line, misses the first one, hits the second. You give the Bulls an opportunity still. Bulls were down three. You still give them an opportunity. C.J. Watson hits a money three in that particular basketball game, and the Chicago Bulls won. They won the game, and they got great production from C.J. Watson. Boozer's playing some ball. And in that game against the Heat, Kyle Korver, a sniper, really got it done for the Bulls in that game. Really shooting lights out in that game. I mean, LeBron James hit a big-time three in that game and put the Bulls up by two with about 49 seconds left. And then an opportunity to salt the game away, and he misses the free throw. He misses the free throw. And you look at it, Derrick Rose has missed 23 games during the season. And in that game, Tom Thibodeau was like, you know what? Derrick Rose and the team seemed a little disjointed with Derrick Rose out there. Let's go back to some of our bench guys. Let's go back to a C.J. Watson and see him, let him get it done, because Derrick Rose was clearly off in that game. He was clearly off in that particular ball game. But C.J. Watson, some big threes, some big buckets, and they outscored the Miami Heat 12-2 in the overtime period. And ultimately, they were able to get the victory and get it done. Derrick Rose was 1-for-13 in that particular ball game, 1-for-13 for only 2 points, and he struggled. He had the groin injury, came back. He had the ankle situation as well, and he's struggling a little bit. He's struggling a little bit, but again, it's about rhythm, and I think finding his rhythm, and ultimately he will find his rhythm in the playoffs. And the Bulls look like a better team than they were a year ago. They seem to be getting production from other players, the production that they weren't getting a year ago. And I think Derrick Rose missing all this time could be a blessing in disguise for the Chicago Bulls, because other guys have stepped up and now may be prepared to step up and be that second guy, that second, third guy in the playoffs. I mean, Luol Deng has missed some time as well. So you look at it, and you're saying to yourself, the Bulls, because of the injuries of Rose and Deng, may be a better team for that. They may be a better team because of some of those things. But I will say this. I will say this, and I said it at the beginning of the year, and I'm still going to stick with this. I had the Miami Heat winning this whole thing. I had the Miami Heat and the Oklahoma City Thunder in the NBA Finals for this season. I had the Miami Heat winning this thing. And I feel like they are still the most talented team in basketball. And I think now you can put guys like anytime you can put on a court of Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James, you are the most talented team in basketball, bottom line. And, I mean, I think they were more talented than the Mavericks last season. I think that was a case of a situation where, you know, two few games went against the Heat, but that was a case where the Mavericks were a team, and Dirk Nowitzki was just playing at a very high level. He was truly the true MVP of last season. And I'm taking that from Brian Comfort, who made those comments many moons ago. So I look at it, and I say, in looking at the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls, the East is going to come down to those two teams. It's going to come down to those two teams. It's going to come down to the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls. Which team is going to step up? Which team is going to get it done in the Eastern Conference? I mean, these two teams are going to get it on again. It's going to happen. It's a foregone conclusion. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just the bottom line of when it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. But you can't sleep on the Boston Celtics, who are playing some good basketball, went into Miami and beat the Heat this past week. You can't discount them. They're playing some good basketball, and they kind of it's similar to some respect. It could be similar to the year that they went back to the finals against the Lakers. I believe it was 2010, the year they went through Cleveland. LeBron's last year in Cleveland, actually. The year they went through Cleveland in Orlando. You know, two teams who, record-wise, were better than them. It might be that type of situation for the Boston Celtics this season. It may be that way. It might be that way. We shall see what happens. And it's going to be an interesting NBA playoff. And I've been saying this throughout the course of this NBA season, that you look at it, it could be the year where some team, like the last lockout shortened season back in 1999, where you had the New York Knicks who came out of nowhere, who literally came out of nowhere, the eighth seed, got into the playoffs, played the Miami Heat, Allen Houston makes the improbable shot, and from there, they ride that wave to the NBA Finals. It could be a situation where we have a team that will do that. We may have a team, not necessarily an AC the team, but a team that may come out of nowhere and get to the NBA Finals. That's what the Knicks did. They came out of nowhere. They truly came out of nowhere in that particular season. They came out of nowhere. And that's what I think that could happen again this year. Could it be the Knicks? I mean, the talent that they have on that roster with the likes of Tyson Chandler, Carmelo Anthony, and they're playing some good basketball right now. Woody has his team playing some good defense, some big-time defense. So, big-time defense. Big-time defense that the team is playing. And Tyson Chandler, a lot of people believe that he is the defensive player of the year. A lot of people believe that he will be the defensive player of the year. Tyson Chandler is playing some great basketball on the defensive end for the New York Knicks. He is getting it done for the New York Knicks. But we shall see what happens in the playoffs. But I think the Knicks are a team, a dangerous team, but I don't think they're any more than that. They're just that, a dangerous ball club. I don't see them being any more than that, but we'll see. We'll see. That's why you play the game in the playoffs. We'll begin getting underway in the next couple weeks. You're listening to Go For It on blogtalkradio.com. And we're back, hitting you hard like we always do, having a good old time. And I want to go back to my last point about the New York Knicks and what they can do in these playoffs. And, again, I think they're dangerous. And I think they're a dangerous team. And if I'm one of the higher seeds, I really don't want to see them because of Carmelo Anthony, his ability to drop 40 at any given time. Because of Tyson Chandler, his ability to anchor the defense. because of the 3-point shooting that they get from J.R. Smith and Steve Novak. And hey, if Baron Davis can be a Baron Davis of old and give them some good minutes, this is a very dangerous ball club. And we'll see what happens with Jeremy Lin and whether he'll come back this season. But this is a very, very dangerous team. A very dangerous team. So you definitely have to be on the lookout for the New York Knicks. And again, I'm not saying they're getting to the NBA Finals. I'm not even saying they're going to win a round in these playoffs. But what I'm saying is they're a dangerous team and that you don't want to face them if you're one of those higher seeded ball clubs. And the thing about it is this. When you're higher seeded team and you play some of these other teams in those first round, you want to get it done soon as possible. You want to win as soon as you can, because the reality is you don't want to let teams hang around. You let teams hang around and injuries can happen. Guys can get hurt. Things happen if you let teams stick around. You don't want to do that. You don't want to let teams hang around. And if I'm the Miami Heat, if I'm the Chicago Bulls, I don't want to see that Knicks team. I do not want to see that Knicks team. I do not want to see them. Not at all. Not at all. But, again, I think the Knicks are just, they're dangerous. They're just that, dangerous, a dangerous team. Nothing more, nothing less. They're a dangerous team. But other than that, I don't see them being a problem in terms of winning a series. I see them being a dangerous team. I see them pushing a team, but I don't see them winning a series. I don't see them beating the Chicago Bulls in a seven-game series. I see them being very competitive against the Chicago Bulls in a seven-game series, but I don't see them beating them. I don't see them beating the Heat. I see them being very competitive against the Miami Heat in a seven-game series, but I don't see them beating the Heat. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it should be very interesting to see how these playoffs shape up. And the Western Conference is truly, truly a conference that is wide open. It's very wide open out West. Very wide open out West. And to me, you got a few teams that come out. You got the Oklahoma City Thunder, who I think will come out. But you also have the San Antonio Spurs, who are playing some good basketball right now, especially those additions of Steven Jackson and Boris Diaw. They're playing some good basketball right now. So you got to feel good about the San Antonio Spurs and what they can do. And, of course, you have the Lakers. You have the Lakers. Kobe's been out past few games with a shin injury, but Andrew Bynum has stepped up big time for him. 30 points last night. The other night he had 30 boards against the San Antonio Spurs as the Lakers went into San Antonio and beat the Spurs. And, of course, you still have the world champion Dallas Mavericks with Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Kidd, Jason Terry, and those boys. Again, and I look at that team, and it's not the same without some of those key pieces that they had a year ago, without a Deshaun Stevenson. Not the same team without J.J. Barea, without a Tyson Chandler. I mean, those guys were big. Those guys were big for the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, they truly were big for the Dallas Mavericks. And they were the reason that the Dallas Mavericks were able to beat the Miami Heat and also eventually ultimately win the championship. They were big reasons in that. They were important pieces in that. Those guys and those things don't happen without those. J.J. Barea was a guy that did a lot of great things for the Dallas Mavericks. And his ability to break down defenders, his ability to get into the lane, his ability just to cause havoc for defenses was big in the Dallas Mavericks winning that championship. And Deshaun Stevenson and his ability to be able to defend the team's best player. They had glue guys. They had big-time role players, and Tyson Chandler was big for them last year as well. They were big for the Mavericks. But Dallas Mavericks still have Dirk Nowitzki. And that's big. They have Dirk Nowitzki. And that's big. Dirk Nowitzki is huge for the Mavericks. Huge for the Mavericks. Very huge. Very huge for the Dallas Mavericks. And he, you know, obviously he was an MVP last. He was the true MVP last season. Derrick Rose won it, but Dirk Nowitzki in the playoffs was a problem, an absolute beast in those playoffs. A beast. An absolute beast in the playoffs. A beast in the playoffs and in the finals. A beast. And he got it done big time for the Mavericks. And that is why the Dallas Mavericks were and are your NBA champions of a year ago. That, because of the play of Dirk Nowitzki and, of course, some of the play of the, and the play of the role players. But you look at this team, struggled a lot this year. Lamar Odom has essentially been exiled. I mean, they will pay his salary, but he will be inactive for the rest of the season. It was just a struggle for Lamar Odom throughout the course of the season. I mean, he had some off-the-court issues, some problems, some things that transpired in his off-the-court, his life off the court, but that was the thing about Lamar Odom, and I'm a Sixers fan myself, and I remember last year or even around the draft, there were reports that the Lakers or the Sixers were in talks and talked about moving Lamar Odom to the Philadelphia 76ers, and I was concerned about that move because Lamar Odom is a guy that I don't know how he loved Hollywood. He loved the Lakers. He had the reality show going on. He had all those things going on. And I was concerned about what and who he would be. What and who he would be outside of Los Angeles, outside of that L.A. And he just played like a guy whose mind just was not in it. He just was not in it this particular season. And he played as such. He played like a guy whose mind just was not there. Just was not there. And it showed. It showed. He struggled. The Mavericks tried all they could do to try to get something out of the guy. They tried to work with him. But it became evident to them that Lamar Odom just was not going to get right this particular season. He just was not going to get right this year. And I think it became evident to the Mavericks, Mark Cuban, and apparently Mark Cuban and Lamar Odom had a halftime altercation in one of the games, and that may have led to the dismissal of Lamar Odom or he's been exiled, basically. He's been inactive. He will be inactive for the rest of the season. And I guess now the Mavericks, Mark Cuban, Rick Carlisle, and the rest of the ball club do not have to worry about the distraction of Lamar Odom. They don't have to worry about that now. And that's a good thing if you're a Mavericks fan. Not having to worry about the distraction that is Lamar Odom. I mean, he has truly been a distraction for the Heat. He's been a distraction. Not for the Heat, for the Mavericks. He's been a distraction for the team. And that distraction became too much for this ball club to overcome. It became too much for the ball club to overcome. And so you understand why the Mavericks did what they did. It was time they felt to move on. It was time they felt to move on from Lamar Odom, move on from his move on from Lamar Odom, move on from his distractions, move on from all that stuff. It was time. It was time for that to happen. And because of the things that Lamar Odom, his versatility, the things that he brings to an NBA roster, things that he brings to a team, because of those things, you really did not want to do that if you're the Mavericks, because of his versatility and because of what he adds to a team. But really, Lamar Odom really did not give the Lakers any choice there. They had to move on. It was a distraction. They had to move on from that distraction. He was a distracted player. Lamar Odom was a distracted player and had a lot of things going on outside of basketball. A lot of things going on outside of basketball. And those things, in a lot of ways, really forced the Mavericks' hands. It forced their hands. And they had to move on from this guy. They had to move on from Lamar Odom. And that's just life. That's really life. And the Mavericks, again, a team championship ball club a year ago, a team that has a lot of talent, a lot of ability, a lot of great things with that Mavericks team a year ago. And now you still have that talent, but I don't think you have those glue guys that you had a year ago. And those glue guys were a big reason why the Mavericks won the NBA title. Nowitzki is big as well, very big, but those glue guys were very big too. And so, again, Lamar Odom is gone. The Mavericks do not have to deal with that distraction any longer. And if you're a Mavericks fan, you got to be happy about that. You truly have to be happy about that one. That's a happy thing if you're a Mavericks fan. That's happy time if you're a Mavericks fan, because you don't have to hear about the distractions of Lamar Odom and some of the things that's going on with his life. But at the same time, you may miss, or what could have came of it would have been good if he was himself. I mean, you could have had a great situation if Lamar Odom was Lamar Odom. And he wasn't. And bottom line, he wasn't. And it cost him his job in some respect because he is inactive for the rest of the season. Though he will get paid, but he will be inactive for the rest of the season. And speaking of someone losing their job and their actions forcing teams or a university or a team to get rid of them, Bobby Petrino was let go by Arkansas this past week. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, I mean, there's not much sympathy for Bobby Petrino. I mean, he's a guy that, in some respect, weaseled his way out of Louisville, weaseled his way out of Atlanta. I mean, the guy is not, or doesn't seem like, to be a very nice person. From afar, he just doesn't seem like a good guy. And because of it, because of him not being that good guy, guess what happened to Bobby Petrino? Bobby Petrino, he basically showed who he was. He showed who he was. And that's the bottom line. He showed us who he was again. And if you're Arkansas, this is what you knew you were getting into. You knew you were getting into or getting involved with a guy who, in some respect, is not a good guy. He's just not a good guy. Atlanta Falcons, you talk to some of the Atlanta Falcons players who was on that roster when Bobby Petrino was there, they're not very happy with the guy. They're not fans of the guy. It's very obvious. Why would you be a fan of some of the things that he's done? And, you know, he had a long-time affair with the woman who was on the back of that motorcycle. Long-time affair with her. They had inappropriate relations at one point. And apparently these inappropriate relations continued. And also, eventually, he would give his mistress, Jessica Durrell, $20,000. Recently gave her $20,000, and it was a $20,000 gift, and she was hired by Petrino to be do some work with the football program. And in hiring her, in a lot of ways, he probably, and there was a report in SI, Sports Illustrated, where basically he probably hired her over some more qualified candidates. He hired her over some more qualified candidates. And so you look at that whole situation, Jessica Durrell, I mean, young girl, good-looking girl. And, you know, she was on back of the Harley, the motorcycle that he was riding, when he got into that motorcycle accident. He denied that anybody was there at that time. And it was just a bunch of lies. It was just a bunch of lies. And ultimately, these lies caught up to Bobby Petrino. And ultimately, these lies have cost Bobby Petrino his job. He lost his job because of the lies. The many lies of Bobby Petrino. The many lies of Bobby Petrino. And they were lies. They were lies. And obviously, 20,000 dollar gift to Durrell when she was first hired by him, and eventually that 20,000 Durrell used to buy a beautiful black Acura, brand new car. So I mean, she in a lot of ways was being taken care of by her sugar daddy in some respect, Bobby Petrino. He was her sugar daddy in some respect. He took care of her. $20,000, paying her bills. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, I guess, if you're Jessica Durrell. But, I mean, it's just a sad situation with Bobby Petrino, but not a surprising situation. And I wrote this on Twitter, but Karma told Bobby Petrino pretty much, I cannot let you get away with what you did to the Louisville, what you did to the Falcons. I cannot let you get away with that. And now it's time to pay up. And Bobby Petrino is paying up. He lost his job with Arkansas. I mean, a team that – a very good team, and he built a nice program with Arkansas. He built a very nice program with Arkansas and built a good team with Arkansas. But now, here's the bottom line now. What happens to Bobby Petrino? I think Bobby Petrino – will resurface. I think it will be on a collegiate level, and I think it will be probably at a small school. He'll start out at a small school, be productive, be dominant, and make some things happen there. And ultimately, from that, I think he will get another shot. I think he'll get another shot on a lower level if he does what he has to do there. If he builds a power house on that lower level, I think he can ultimately get another opportunity. But again, he has to be clean. He has to do the right things. And if he can build a powerhouse, on the collegiate level, if he can build a powerhouse there, guess what? Bobby Petrino will probably get another opportunity. I mean, people get second chances, and sometimes second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, ninth chances. But Bobby Petrino has at least shown us throughout the course of the years that he can win in this league, in college, I should say. He has proven that he can win on the collegiate level. He has proven that. The NFL level, well, he had a tough situation in Atlanta. That was a year Michael Vick just got suspended. That was a year where they went through a bunch of different quarterbacks. And they really, I mean, it was a bad situation in Atlanta, but he bailed on them. He bailed on them. And a lot of players, again, to this day for the Atlanta Falcons who are on that roster, truly have no respect for the guy and truly do not respect Bobby Petrino and what happened and what he did with the Atlanta Falcons. And he in a lot of ways, is pretty much not a good guy. And I think, again, it's pretty evident, it's pretty obvious that he is not a good guy. He's got some things with him. There's a lot of stuff that comes with Bobby Petrino. a lot of stuff that comes with Coach Petrino. And so, yes, you'll win. You will win with Bobby Petrino. But you'll have some stuff that comes with it. You'll truly have some stuff that come with it, that comes with it. And so the stuff that comes with Bobby Petrino is what Arkansas knew about in some respect in terms of the type of guy he is and the type of things he has done in other places. The reality is this. And it's like, I'll put it to you like this, and I think it's the best way to put it. You go out, you're looking at a particular woman, and you see the woman, and guys tell you, you know what, she's got a bad reputation. Let me tell you what she did. To this guy, she left him when he lost his job, and to this guy, she cheated on him. She's cute. She'll make you feel good, but guess what? She's got some issues. She's got some things with her. And you know what? You hear all those things, and you know what? You still decide to get yourself involved with her. You still decide to be involved with her, even though you hear some of the negative things and some of the bad things about her. And even though, in some respect, Bobby Petrino, I mean, if you're Arkansas, basically, in simpler terms, Arkansas took a guy who was married already away from his wife, and the wife was the Atlanta Falcons at the time. So you know what type of guy you're dealing with, and the way you got him, you understand that this guy could do the same things to you. And he didn't do that particular thing, but ultimately he did other things, and those other things were some of the off-the-field things with, again, a Jessica Durrell, a young 25-year-old girl. He hired her, and obviously it was his mistress, and he was having a good old time with her. Riding around in Arkansas, in Fayetteville, having a good old time. Having a funky good old time. And guess what happened? What always happens eventually to everybody. When you do dirt, you get caught. And everything in the dark finds a way to get to the light. Everything comes to light. And that's life. That's life in a nutshell. Everything comes to light. What you do in the dark has a strange way of finding you and finding the light. And that's what happened here with Bobby Petrino. What he did in the dark, what he did with a Jessica Durrell, the $20,000 that he gave her, the job that he gave her, and him riding dirty with her on his motorcycle, and the craziest things happen. He gets into a motorcycle accident, and guess what? I mean, a motorcycle accident comes out of nowhere, and guess what? It comes out of nowhere, and it coming out of nowhere, it cost Bobby Petrino his job. It cost him his job. In life, you reap what you sow. And Bobby Petrino has sown a lot of bad things, and now he's reaping what he did. He's reaping. He is reaping now. This is the reaping process for Bobby Petrino. This is the reaping process for Bobby Petrino. And so you look at this whole situation now. He's out of a job. Probably out of a wife. He just does not look good here. Just does not look good here. But I said it before, I'll say it again. This is not the last you have seen of Bobby Petrino. He will get another opportunity. He will get another shot. He will get another chance. He will get another opportunity. Again, I think it's going to be on a small level at a small college. Could be D2, could be D1AA. or it could be a low-level D1 school. But he's going to get another opportunity. So while you may cringe and may be upset about some of the things he has done, and he's done some bad things, obviously. Cheating on your wife, not a good thing. Lying about a motorcycle accident, lying about a whole bunch of other things, not good things. Not good things. So Bobby Petrino now will have to deal with some of the things he's done. He's going to have to deal with what he has done to his family, what he has done in terms of financially for his job, and what he has done to his reputation, and a reputation that has already taken hits. His reputation has already taken hits. So it's not surprising what happened with Bobby Petrino here. It's not surprising at all. It's unfortunate. It's truly unfortunate. But it's not surprising at all. Not surprising at all. Does he learn from it? I don't know. I don't know, but I mean, he's an older man now, and in some respect, it is a hard job to teach an old dog new tricks. That's always a difficult proposition. But it's possible. Anything is possible. You're listening to Go For It on blogtalkradio.com.
Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Picturica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man, Pauly G and Jeremy. Get it!
And that's
Thank
what
you,
we
sir.
Do.
You got it, brother. Have a go, man.
And that's what we do here on Go For It. We have a good old time. And we're going to bring in now NFL draft prospect, former Ohio State wide receiver, the one, the only, Devere Posey. Devere, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How you folks doing?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate y'all having me. I apologize for about a misunderstanding. How y'all doing over there?
Oh, no problem, sir. Devere, let's get right to it. I mean, your senior season was essentially wiped away from suspensions. I look at this time now, the Senior Bowl, the Combines, the Pro Days. To me, I look at this time as an opportunity for you to show the GMs and coaches around the league who you truly are. Have you approached it this way?
Yeah, definitely, man. I definitely, you know, try to take advantage of my opportunities that I had, you know, early in the year. I felt like, you know, the coaches got to know, you know, my real character and understand that it was a mistake I made as a young kid, and, you know, I'm trying to move on and, you know, just be the best player that I could be.
And you have moved on, and you had a decent NFL combine. You ran a decent 40 time there. But overall, were you happy with your combine performance?
Yeah, I felt like I was happy with my performance. I mean, I kind of felt there was some discrepancy in my 40 time, which kind of, you know, disappointed me a lot. I mean, my first run, I ran a 4.37, and my next one, I ran a 4.4, and then I guess my final official was 4.50, and honestly, so I don't know how that happened.
Right.
It frustrated me a little bit because I worked really hard for that 4.37. And I don't know. I really just don't know how they got to that. But I felt like, you know, I was comfortable with all the NFL coaches and the times that they had and the times they discussed with my agent and, you know, what they shared with him. So, I mean, they all had me between, you know, 4.37 and 4.4. So I'll go with those times, and I elected not to run at Pro Day. So I just wanted to go and kill the drills, and I felt like I had a good Pro Day.
And we talked about that pro day. You were very happy. I was reading some of the articles about your pro day. You were very happy about what you did on your pro day. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I was excited that the process was over, and, you know, I mean, it was going down to the waiting game, and now, you know, I didn't really have to, you know, focus on drills and track meets anymore. I could really focus on football and working on my craft and running, you know, doing things like that, you know, getting stronger, faster in different areas. I don't know, man. I was excited how pro day went. I didn't drop a ball, you know what I mean? I felt like I ran good routes, you know, and I don't know. Overall, I just felt like I had a good day.
And obviously this is a hectic time for you as you prepare for the upcoming NFL draft. Take us through the day in the life of Devere Posey as he prepares for the draft.
Sure. It's not too exciting right now. I try to stay committed. I make sure I get up early in the morning and make sure I work out. I don't like to sleep in. I don't know, just something about, you know, getting your workout in early that, you know, that helps me feel a lot better about myself. So I get up around 8. You know, I'm at the workout facility for about, you know, 3 or 4 hours, make sure I get everything in, take care of my body. And after that, I just come home and, you know, just relax, probably catch some Netflix, hang out with the fellas while I still got a chance, you know, hang out with my girlfriend and, you know, just take it easy.
We're talking to former Ohio State wide receiver Devere Posey as he prepares for the upcoming NFL draft. And what do you feel like you need to do to improve on and be effective at the NFL level?
Oh, man, you know, just every area of my game can get better. You know, I mean, I'm a type of player that I'll never, ever feel like I've reached my full potential. I mean, and the day I feel like that, that probably should be the day that I retire. So
right.
I feel like all areas of my game should improve, and, you know, my route running, you know, even catching, you know, blocking, you know, learning things, all of that. I mean, I'm a rookie now, you know, so
right.
I remember, you know, the learning curve that I had to, you know, get with as a freshman is going to be that, you know, times 10 now. So I'm ready. I'm humbled. I'm ready for this challenge, and I'm ready to work on all parts of my game.
And what do you bring to an NFL roster, to an NFL team?
Well, man, I think really at Ohio State, man, the years that I started, man, we won a lot of games. And part of the point of line, man, that's what I love to do. I love to win. I mean, that's why I play football. That's why I put on that helmet, because I like to, you know, go against the other person and, you know, and just destroy them. Man, I love winning. Like, I mean, that's what I do, man. I love winning. And I feel like I can bring that attitude to anybody, because that's infectious. And, you know, I don't care however old you are. If you see a guy out there, you know, busting his butt to get a W or busting his butt to get a win on that play, you know what I mean, I feel like, you know, anybody can respect that. I mean, and it's just like my number one quality that I feel like I have. I love winning.
And all you do is win, 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 no matter what?
That's what I mean. I mean, I failed trying before. I'm not 100% over here, but sure, I'm going to give everything, though.
Right. And that's all you can ask from you. And Devere, right now, I mean, you talked about route running, and that's one of the things that I'm reading about you. Some of the scouts are talking about your precise routes. Talk about the importance of route running as a wide receiver.
I mean, it's your pitcher, you know what I mean? You got to paint that pitcher to catch that ball, man. You have to, you know, find places and holes. And I mean, it's just a feel, and it's just a different sort of thing that you just got to get used to. It's muscle memory. And, I mean, that's just really what it is. I mean, you can't really work enough hours on your route. So I'm just trying to, you know, sharpen the top ends of my breaks, make sure my body looks the same, and in and out of all of my cuts, I'm not giving anything away on which way I'm going. And I'm just trying to, you know, make everything look the same.
We're talking to Devere Posey, former wide receiver for Ohio State and now NFL draft prospect. At this point, Devere, have you heard where you may go, what round?
I mean, I hear speculation. I mean, I've heard really late. I mean, I've heard as early as second. So, I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, I'm going to start watching in second, and then, you know, I can expect to go in the second day, or I can expect to go late the third day, man. You know, the draft is a funky process. You know, how
right.
things unfold are really, it's something rare, you know, because the team could see this guy and they like somebody, he gets pushed down a round or two. So you never know, man. But I'm definitely prepared for the worst. I'm definitely prepared to go on the third day. I mean, I understand the situation that I had last year really affected my status and really affected, you know, things. Going into this draft process, and just because, you know, the coaches and GMs and scouts weren't able to see me and the improvements that I made in my game. So they only had three games to base things off of,
right.
plus my last year film. So, you know, I've kind of accepted it. You know, I'm going to go where I go, but the way I'm looking at it is just my running lane. Everybody got to run the race and track, right? You're going to be
Definitely.
Out of lane seven. So, I mean, I'm just looking at it as my running lane, and I'm just, you
right.
know, eager to get there and just be on the team and put on another helmet.
And that's a great attitude that you have there. On the show, we like to play a game called Getting to Know You. Can we play
okay.
this game with you? You ready to play?
Let's play.
Devere, song
yes,
or artist that you listened to before a big game?
Lil Wayne. I always got to have some Lil Wayne on my, you know, old school Lil Wayne, like early 2000s Lil Wayne.
Okay. You're talking about Hot Boys Lil Wayne.
Nah, I'm talking like Dedication, Drought, Lil Wayne.
Okay. Favorite NFL team growing up?
Well, I was born in San Francisco and grew up in Cincinnati, so it has to be one of those two teams.
So one of those two?
Yeah, one of those two.
Favorite player growing up?
Ollie, Donovan McNabb.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I mean, you're San Francisco, Cincinnati, and then Donovan becomes your favorite player.
Well, it's a funny story, man. Well, my first starter jacket was an Eagles starter jacket, and I used to wear number 5, so Donovan just became my boy when he was with the Eagles.
And final question, outside of football, what's your favorite sport?
Basketball.
Basketball, okay. All right. Devere, where can fans connect with you? I know you got a Twitter account.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Follow me on Twitter at Depot8 and on Instagram at Depot8. I check both of them all the time. I'm not too good at interacting with fans on Twitter, but I definitely interact with people on Instagram. I'm about that Instagram life. I love it. Twitter and Instagram.
All right. Devere, it was a pleasure talking to you, man. We wish you nothing but the best of luck moving forward, and let's do this again.
I appreciate you having me on your show, man. I apologize. Thank you.
No problem. Take care.
Okay, you too.
Devere Posey, former Ohio State wide receiver, as he prepares for the upcoming NFL draft, which is less than 2 weeks away. It is right around the corner, folks. You're listening to Go For It on blogtalkradio.com.
Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Picturica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
And that's what we're about to do now in the next couple minutes. We're about to bring in now defensive back for the Tennessee Titans. And now one of an executive producer of a movie that is out in theaters yesterday, Woman, Thou Art Loosed, the seventh day. It is in select theaters around the country. And we're going to bring him in now. Let's bring in now defensive back for the Tennessee Titans, the one, the only, Jordan Babineau. Jordan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm walking to the number T green right now because I had to tee up and then call in. So.
Thanks for joining us.
Can you hear me okay? I'm up here in the mountains, so a signal may be.
I can hear you now. Hello? Well, he is up in the mountains right now, so we'll try to get him back on. Obviously, he's having some signal problems up there, but we'll get him back on in the next couple minutes. Hopefully he can work through that problem there. But, I mean, he's, in some respect, he's preparing for life after football, which is always a good thing. Preparing for life after football is always a good thing. And that's what Jordan Babineau is doing right now. And that is what he's doing with this movie, Woman, Thou Art Loosed, the seventh day. And he partnered with T.D. Jakes, and him and his brother are co-executive producers of this particular film in theaters now. So make sure, select theaters now, I should say. So make sure you go check it out. And again, he's doing, and him and his brother are doing great things right now with that move in the movie business. And so this is a great transition for these guys, and hopefully we can get him back on in the next couple minutes. He is having some difficulties in terms of his phone. He is up in the mountains golfing on the golf course, having a funky good old time, and hopefully we can get him back in that couple minutes or so. But, I mean, again, you think about life after football. You think about some of the guys who are having issues financially. And guys like a Warren Sapp who recently declared bankruptcy. And, you know, I mean, it's a sad story. You had Allen Iverson a few months back, and they're saying that financially he is okay. He's a lot better than what people are speculating and have been speculating. But you look at that situation, you look at guys and their situations, life after football and preparing for life after football, it's always interesting because I think people realize or don't realize that the money you have can go away fast, and especially if you mismanage it or do various things with it. And in that respect, you look at Warren Sapp, who was having some issues financially, and you say to yourself, I mean, it's a sad story because it's a guy who made a good amount of money in his career and has a seemingly good job with the NFL Network, though reports are he may not be back with the NFL Network, but has a seemingly good job there. Does the thing on Showtime as well. We have Jordan Babineau. Let's bring him back in. Jordan, how are you, sir? Jordan?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We're good. Jordan? Let's go to break and let's see if we can get this taken care of.
Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Pichirica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
Thank you, sir.
You got it, brother. Have a go, man. Okay. Hey, what up?
That.
It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Pichirica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
Thank you, sir.
You got it.
And we're back, still having some difficulty getting Jordan Babineau on the phone, and hopefully he can call back and we can talk about his new movie that he co-executive produced. Him and his brother are co-executive producers, him and Jonathan, co-executive producers of the movie Woman, Thou Art Loose, the seventh day, in select theaters now. The movie came out yesterday, April 13th. He partnered with T.D. Jakes, and T.D. Jakes had a great movie. I remember seeing the first movie, Woman, Thou Art Loose. Good movie there. I mean, a very interesting movie, a lot of twists and turns, a lot of interesting things that happened in that particular movie. And I'm looking forward to seeing that particular movie. I think it's going to be a great movie, an interesting movie. And, again, last movie that T.D. Jakes had in terms of this series, this franchise, was good. Very good, very compelling. Great storylines. I mean, it was a good movie. And I truly enjoyed that one. Really enjoyed that movie. And I know this one is going to be just as good, if not better. I know some of the cast members, Blair Underwood, who's a great actor. Great actor, Blair Underwood. You got the great Pam Grier in that particular movie. I mean, so you got some great actors, some great stars, and some great personalities in that particular movie. And it's a movie I'm looking forward to seeing. I mean, I really am looking forward to seeing that particular movie. And it is in select theaters now. And so make sure you go check it out. If it's in your city, make sure you check it out. So it's a great movie. It's a great movie, great storyline, great actors. And Jordan Babineau found a way to co-executive produce that particular movie. You know, busy man, obviously, with the football thing. And he's found a way to find some time to make a movie, And that's a good thing. And that's preparing for life after football, because the money you make in football does not last forever. It doesn't last forever. And that's the reality of it. It does not last forever. And that's the reality of the situation. It don't last forever. And it can last forever if you find a way to invest it properly, if you find a way to take care of your money. And you got to be, these are guys in some respect who have now found that thing after football that they can go after, that they enjoy, that they can possibly be profitable in. I know Elton Brand has done some things in movies. You had Diddy, P. Diddy, who actually won an Oscar, I believe. So, I mean, guys kind of making that transition to that thing. That thing is movies. And so hopefully we can get Jordan back on in the next few minutes. Again, he's up in the mountains. He's got a bad phone signal up there, so we'll try to get him in. Hopefully in the next few minutes, hopefully he can work through that phone issue, but we'll try to get him in. But looking at some of the things now going on in the National Football League, interesting comments, I thought, by Broncos wide receiver Demaryius Thomas about Tim Tebow and about Tebow mania, I guess, as a whole. Demaryius Thomas basically said at this point he's not going to miss Tim Tebow. And he had some interesting comments that he made on the radio show the other day. He said, I ain't going to say I was sad because the only thing they remember is that pass. You got to go back and look at the rest of the game. I wasn't getting no balls, and you had to make some of these plays where some players were open and he's not making the throws. But I don't want to talk bad about Tim, but hey, I'm happy we got Peyton Manning. And so, hey, I mean, anybody's happy. Everybody's got to be happy if you get a Peyton Manning. That's the bottom line. I mean, like I said before, top five quarterbacks like a Peyton Manning do not come on the market every day. And so to get an opportunity at Peyton Manning, to have an opportunity at a guy who is a surefire Hall of Famer, you got to take it. And Tim Tebow is Tim Tebow, but I mean, and he had a good year, but again, he's Tim Tebow. This is Peyton Manning we're talking about. And he had some other comments. He said, you would have people calling out saying, Tim, you got to make that throw. You got to read the defenses better. Players on offense trying to get him better. And he went on to say about he went on to say and talked about how some of the media coverage that Tebow was getting rubbed him the wrong way. And he went on to say everything on ESPN was about Tim. That bothered some players too, because they would say Tim Tebow time. I felt like it was a team thing. If it wasn't for the defense most of the time, there wouldn't be no supposed Tim Tebow time. And so, you know, he's kind of saying what I've been saying for the longest time now. He's been saying what I've been saying for the longest about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is a guy who benefited from his situation, benefited from having a great defense, benefited from a defense that kept them in the ball games. So he was able to make those plays at the end. But those, like he said, those plays would be irrelevant if it not for the play of the defense. And the defense played well for the Denver Broncos and kept them in all those ball games. And he's right. There is no Tebow time without defense time. There is no Tebow time without D time, without the defense getting it done, without the defense making plays, without the defense making things happen. There's none of that without the defense. And so, and you're probably going to start hearing these comments now, and you kind of figured that it was kind of the case. You figured guys probably were not too happy about the attention that Tebow was getting and probably felt like, you know what, we did some things too. We were one of the reasons why the team was successful. We had parts of those victories. Demaryius Thomas, I mean, it was a short pass, and the pass was on the money, but he did a bulk of that work there, that stiff arm and then taking it to the house. So the bulk of the work was done by Demaryius Thomas. It was done by him on that particular play. I mean, 80 yards is 80 yards, but Demaryius Thomas really, really, really did the bulk of the work there in that particular play. He was the reason, or one of the biggest reasons. I mean, give Tebow credit. It was the pass was on the money. It was a good pass. The pass was good. But, the run after the catch was even better, especially that stiff arm by Demaryius Thomas. So, I mean, I guess the question is, will you miss Tim Tebow? I think it's like saying this. If you had Roseanne as your wife, and then you got a chance to get Halle Berry as your wife, would you miss Roseanne? Probably not. And that's the way I look at the Tebow and Peyton Manning thing. I look at it that way. Do you miss Roseanne now that you have Halle Berry? Probably not. And that's the way I look at Tebow and Peyton Manning. Do you miss Peyton Manning now? I mean, excuse me, do you miss Tim Tebow now that you have Peyton Manning? Probably not. We're going to bring in now the next couple minutes, and stay tuned for this. We're going to bring in Zebre Sanders, former offensive tackle for Florida State as he prepares for the upcoming draft. So stick and stay. We're going to bring in Zebre Sanders in the next couple minutes. You're listening to Go For It on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Hey, what up? It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Pictureka on the Hub and warm-up host.
We're going to bring in now, we finally got A. Babineau on the line. Jordan was out there having a good old time on the golf course. We can't get him to call back in, having some old phone issues. But it's all good. We got his brother, Jonathan, on the line. And we're going to talk to him about this big movie that these two have co-executive produced. And let's bring him in now. The one, the only, Jonathan Babin of the Atlanta Falcons. Jonathan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Paul?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You and your brother, co-executive producers of Woman, Thou Art Loose, on the seventh day, in select theaters now. I got to ask you, how'd you guys become a part of this movie? How'd you get a part of this?
Man, it started about 3 years ago. We ran into a guy by the name of Jeff Flanagan, who owns Cold Black Entertainment. And you know, we wanted to get into the entertainment business. We started off doing comedy, did a few shows here and there, and then we finally had our first break with Kevin Hart, Seriously Funny, that went to DVD.
Okay.
And then we came behind that and did Live from Club Nokia with Mike Epps. And then last year about this time, you know, we had the opportunity to sit down with Jeff and Bishop, and we had the opportunity to become co-executive producers on Thou Women Are Loose on the seventh day.
And talk about this movie. This is the second installment of this movie. The first one was great. A lot of twists and turns. I was shocked by that ending. Will we see much of the same here?
It will keep you on your toes. You think you had to figure it out, and then you were like, oh, man, I thought I had to figure it out. But The movie is a dramatic thriller. You know, it keeps you on your toes throughout the movie. I can say I have some type of relation to the movie. You know, I'm sure anybody that looks at it going to feel some type of direct contact with the movie in some way or form.
And this film was shot in New Orleans. A lot of great
stars:
Blair Underwood,
yep.
Pam Grier, Sharon Leal, to name a few. How often were you guys on the set?
We actually got there the first day we started shooting for a few days. You know, but we had to get back to our respective cities and get ready for football. But we had the opportunity to sit on set for a few days and you know, sit behind the camera and see how these guys are acting, how they're acting, just transform, and then, you know, putting it on the screen is like a totally, you know, it just blows your mind how that little scene right there can be so explosive when you're watching it on screen.
And looking at it now, I mean, you were on set with some Hollywood stars. Were you starstruck at all?
Nah, not at all. Honestly, I've never been starstruck about anybody, but, I know how it is when, you know, you're a celebrity and, you know, everybody wants your autograph. I try to give people their respect and try to stay out their lane. You know, if they come to me, that's fine. But, you know, I was happy and thrilled to be able to meet Blair Underwood and Sharon Leal.
We're talking to Jonathan Babineau, defensive tackle for the Atlanta Falcons and co-executive producer with his brother Jordan, A Woman's Thou Art Loose, on the seventh day in select theaters now. Came out yesterday. So make sure you go check it out. A great, great movie, a great franchise. So make sure you check that movie out. And let's move the football now, Jonathan. Let's go on to the field. I mean, 2011, tough year for you injury-wise. How much did the knee hamper your play in 2011?
Well, you know, I had some good times in spurts. Sometimes it wasn't. But, you know, I managed it throughout the season. Being able to finish the season was a good thing for me. I'm glad I still had the opportunity to still go out there and play hard for my team and do my best. But, you know, I'm looking forward to an outstanding year this year. You know, my body feels great right now. Been working out on my own. You know, I'm just anxious and ready to get back out there and prove myself that I can be dominant and be very, very creating havoc in the backfield and just enjoying the time that I do get to play.
And your Falcons, again, another disappointing first-round exit for you guys. What do you take from those two playoff games against the Packers and the Giants into 2012?
Well, you know, looking back on those games, you know, we blew a lot of opportunities. And that's what it all boils down to. You got to take advantage of your opportunities that you get because you never know when you're going to get it again.
That's true.
Making it to the playoffs isn't easy. You know, every team in the NFC is very challenging, and everybody's getting better every year. You know, I think it's starting to come down to an even playing field for everybody in the NFC. I don't think any team is like really outstanding. You know, it's any given Sunday in this league, but. Reflect back on the 2011 season. I think guys understand what went wrong, and you know, hopefully, we can correct this. You know, it's time that we swallow in the first round and not choke again. You know, I'm looking forward to you know, at least getting to the NFC Championship, if not the Super Bowl. You know, so my expectations and my standards are going to be very high this year.
And funny thing, I mean, you have you and your brother both in the league. You guys both played against each other when your brother was with Seattle back in 2010. Was that an enjoyable experience, or was it almost a tough experience?
So it's always enjoyable, you know, especially playing against somebody you grew up with. We both live in the same dreams that we talked about when we were little kids, and just had an opportunity for me to watch him play on the field and him watch me play on the field. You know, you know, we don't get that often. You know, him being way out there, well, now he's in Tennessee, so I had the opportunity to play against him last year. But, you know, we don't get too many opportunities where we get to see each other play live in person. And, you know, we just enjoy the moment. Our family comes down and enjoy that moment, too. You know, they don't have to travel to two different cities in one weekend. You know, you just come to one destination and be able to enjoy both of us playing.
and that's a good thing. And on the show, Jonathan, we like to play a game called Who's Better. I'll give you a couple topics. You tell me who's better. You ready to play?
Ready.
Better athlete, Jordan or Jonathan?
Jonathan.
Better looking brother, Jordan or Jonathan?
Ty. It's a tie.
It's a tie, okay. And a final question, the faster Babineau, Jordan or Jonathan?
Well, you know, he might be a little quicker than me, but I'll get him in the first three steps, though.
And that's all that's important for a defensive tackle, right?
Definitely.
And, Jonathan, where can we find information about this movie? I know it's in select theaters, in select cities. Where can we find out about information about this movie?
You can go to AMCTheaters.com, and they will have all the listings for every city, every theater that it will be playing at. All you have to do is put in your zip code or your city, and it will pop up the theaters in your city or nearest theater to you, the listings for this movie.
Okay. And everybody, make sure you go there. This is a great movie. I saw the first one. I mean, I really enjoyed the first one. The first one, the ending was, which is crazy to me. It's just a lot of twists and turns. And again, Jonathan, you're saying it's going to be much of the same.
This one is going to be even better, Paul. I mean, just, you know, it keeps you on your toes. You think you had it figured out, and you're like, okay, well, it must be her or him. It must be her or him. It must be her or him. No, it ain't him. No, it ain't her. You know, so it's a good movie to go see. You know, I hope everybody that go see it enjoyed. And, you know, I'm expecting a lot of feedback from you guys when you go out there and watch the movie. You know, we appreciate you going out there and support us. You know, and I hope you enjoy our movie.
Again, the movie is Woman's Hour, loosed on the seventh day. The co-executive producer is Jonathan Babineau. Jonathan, we wish you nothing but the best of luck with the movie and nothing but the best of luck on the field. Let's do this again.
Yes, sir, Paul. Appreciate the time.
Take care.
All right.
Jonathan Babineau, defensive tackle for the Atlanta Falcons. And again, Woman, Thou Art Loosed on the seventh day in theaters now, in select theaters. Go to AMC.com, check it out, and find out where this movie is playing. Again, I saw the first one. It was great. You're listening to Go Forward on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Picturica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man, Paulie G.
And we're going to be joined now in the next few seconds, by offensive tackle Zebre Sanders as he prepares for the upcoming NFL draft. The NFL draft is less than 2 weeks away, and so this has got to be an exciting time for him, an exciting time for many players around the country as they prepare for this draft. Let's bring him in now. Offensive tackle, Florida State, the one, the only, Zebre Sanders. Zebre, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, sure. Anytime. I'm just glad for the opportunity. Glad you have me on.
And I look at you, and I look at last year, you were a durable player for Florida State. You played a team-high 819 snaps last season. Talk about your durability.
Well, you know, just one thing that I always prided myself on is, you know, my dad always used to tell me, don't let anybody outwork you. And so I always made sure I tried to be on the field for every game. And even when I missed practice in the offseason, you know, it just hurt me inside, and I made sure I could help any of the players that went in to, you know, go in and do their duty. But, you know, when I was ever able, I made sure I was out in the field and tried to get things done.
And, Zebre, another strength of yours is your smarts. You're a bright guy. How do you use those smarts on the football field?
Just First of all, just doing film study with Coach Trickett, the way he taught all of us how to really look for when you're looking at film, you know, who you're going against, what he likes to do on third down and blitzes, and then using that on the field. And I think, you know, just going over that, all that, you know, week of preparation when you see it on the field, it's like, you know, clockwork, and it's just easier to remember. So, I mean, it definitely helps too, you know, because he throws a lot of stuff at you. So, me, Dak, all them boys, it really took a lot, really smart plays.
And you talked about Andrew Dacko. We had him on the show as well. And you guys, in some respect, are preparing together as you go through this NFL draft process. How much has it helped having Andrew a part of this process?
It's helped a lot, man. Just somebody, you know, that you've been through a lot of stuff with, you know, and then just a workout partner. You know, we're always going to compete anyway. You know, we have that kind of drive, always making sure we're the last one in the weight room. It just helps us, you know, become better players and better people to get in shape with and makes us a little bit closer, you know, and then we found the same agent. So it's been a good opportunity for us.
And you play both tackle spots throughout your career at Florida State. Do you have a preference on the NFL level, whether it's left or right in terms of tackles, in terms of the tackle position, I should say?
I'm just trying to play and hopefully get my name out there. I want to die. I mean, playing left side last year, I felt a little more natural, but I mean, I can play right tackle too. It's just a fact you can out there making a team and just working every day.
We're talking to former Florida State offensive tackle Zebre Sanders as he prepares for the upcoming NFL draft. And Zebre, I read in other interviews that one of the things that you wanted to work on was hand placement. What have you done to improve that part of your game?
Oh, one thing that working on at Pete Bomarito's, he had a MMA fighter come down to Miami and just work on, you know, where to place the hands, what to look for, having that hand-eye coordination, you know, getting your eyes focused on the target and then punching. And just, you know, little things just to keep us aware of, you know, where we should put our hands, just the quickness and intuition for that. So it's helped out a lot, man. It helped out a lot.
And it seemed like it would. I mean, like you said, it helps you to know where to put the hands and how to move the hands in a certain way. So, I know I've heard a lot of players talk about having that mixed martial arts kind of workout. You really enjoyed that, it seems.
Yeah, I did. It was good. It was something different. It was something different.
Right.
So I was really interested in it.
And looking at it, I was reading some articles about you, and some of the guys you tried to model your game after were Trey Thomas and Jason Peters. What parts of their game have you used in your game?
Well, with Trey Thomas, you know, him being an alumni of Florida State, he came down and actually just gave me a little bit of tips. And he was actually talking about foot quickness and foot steps when you're doing your set. And so that was something I was really working on and practicing my senior year, and it got a little more comfortable with me. And then, you know, Jason Peters, I felt like he was probably one of the best offensive linemen in the game last year. And, you know, I used to watch him all the time, and just his ability, you know, to set quick and set people on the line, not give up a lot of movement back in the backfield. So that's something I was working on the last couple weeks in the Chance Sports Bowl event against Florida.
Okay, and you look at this whole process, obviously the draft boards, they change and have been changing over these past few months. Do you pay attention to those draft boards, or is that something you try to avoid?
That's something I try to avoid, man. I know everybody has their own opinion. I'm just trying to, you know, have a good opportunity for this whole thing, and I'm going to be happy whether my name's called in the first or the third. So.
Right. And have you heard where you may go in terms of rounds?
No, not really. I mean, Drew, not really. I've heard anything from third, second. So, I mean, I'm just keeping my arms crossed, you know, and hoping for the best.
And what do you bring to an NFL roster? We talked about your durability. We talked about your smarts. What do you bring to an NFL roster, an NFL team?
I feel like just my work ethic and my drive to, you know, always get better every day at practice and, you know, never to mess up on the things that I messed up before. And then I also just my quickness, my feet steps, and then like what you said earlier, the durability. I always make sure I'm always trying to be out there. I don't want to miss a lot. I always try to get back on the field when I am hurt.
And Zebre, you went through the combines, you went through the pro days. How do you think you fared in those particular situations?
I think I did pretty good, man. I had the little plantar fasciitis issue at the combine, but that's healed up really well now. I feel like I did a lot better at the pro day. And I've been working on that a lot. I've been doing precaution stuff just so it's always feeling good, sleeping at splints, ice cups. So, I mean, I've just been working on my body, trying to keep it healthy.
And take us through a day now in the life of Zebre Sanders as he prepares for the upcoming NFL draft. It's got to be pretty hectic.
I'll be, not really. Right now I'm just more of trying to get in shape. You know, we have workouts 8 o'clock in the morning in Miami. and those usually go to about 12 when you're there. You know, we'll have like an hour and a half speed session, still getting, you know, your nutrients and stuff. And then right after that, about an hour and 30-minute weight room session, just lifting weights and stuff like that. And then you're usually done around 12, 1 o'clock. And I usually go back home, shower up, and take a nap because I'm usually tired right after that. I never really have a lot of strength after that. And when I wake up, it's either, you know, answering phone calls with my agent, talking to Drew about the whole thing, or then just talking to open my parents, something like that. But I'm kind of a low-key kind of guy, trying to keep it myself. And, you know, I'm just trying to work on all that stuff right now.
And the draft is less than 2 weeks away. Are you nervous at this point? Is there butterflies in the stomach?
Oh, yeah, I'm real nervous. I'm real nervous right now because, you know, I've been dreaming about this ever since I started playing football. So it's definitely going to be a dream come true, but I know this is only the beginning. So it's going to be – I just can't wait, man. Just can't wait.
And have you met with any teams? Have you been to any facilities?
Yeah, I've been to a couple. I mean, they've all said the same thing, saying they like me and stuff that they bring to the table, so that's been good. I've liked all of them.
Okay, and so you're liking the feedback that you're getting at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And on this show, we like to play a game called Getting to Know You. You ready to play?
Yeah, sure, let's go.
Your favorite team growing up?
Philadelphia Eagles.
And we have something in common there. That is my favorite team. Lifelong Eagles fan. Tough, disappointing season last year. Very tough, disappointing season.
Yeah.
Left a bad taste in my mouth. The team should have been a lot better than they were.
Yeah.
But oh well. You played the violin. Tell us about that.
The viola. Just a
viola,
violin.
Okay.
It was something that I did when I was in high school. And I started actually when I was in elementary school, and I kind of got burnt out with it. My mom said I couldn't stop until I graduated, so got through with it until high school, and then I haven't played it in years, so I really need to. I don't remember any of the notes or anything, but I used to love playing that back in the day.
Your favorite movie?
I don't know, man. I have a lot. I'm like a movie junkie, man. My mom, my grandma, I learned from them. They used to go to movies every weekend, so I've been through a lot. I mean, I like the new movies, like 300 and stuff like that, but also like oldies, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off is a good one. Coming to America, those are all really good. So, I mean, I really can't pick my favorite movie because I've seen so many.
And the final question, your song or music that you listen to before a big game?
Before a big game? The song or just like the music or what?
The artist or the song that you listen to before a big game?
I usually listen to Drake, and I usually listen to 9 a.m. in Dallas. There's a little freestyle I listen to.
And so what Drake song? I Just Want to Be Successful? I mean, that would seem to be a good song to listen to before a game.
No, 9 a.m. in Dallas. That's the name of the song. There's a little freestyle.
Okay, it's okay. So that's what you listen to.
Right. I always make sure I listen to that.
All right. And Zebra, I see you don't have a Twitter. Is there any way fans can connect with you at this point?
I don't know. I'm thinking about maybe doing it. I don't know right now. I tried to get away from all that because I didn't want anything negative with teams or anything like that. But,
right.
I mean, I may open up something. We'll see.
Right. Smart man. And, again, we talked about the draft being less than 2 weeks away. Where do you plan on watching this NFL draft?
I'm going back where my family's from. You know, I was born in South Carolina, too, and all my family's there. So I'm going to South Carolina, and we're going to do something at my uncle's house. So it's be a nice little family bond. I want to do something quiet, you know, so that's what I'm planning on.
Okay, so yeah, nice, quiet affair, and that's a good thing. And, you talked about being nervous, but at the same time, you got to be excited. This is a great, great opportunity to be drafted by a team in the National Football League.
Thank you. Yes, sir. I know it's going to be good. It's going to be crazy.
Zebra, man, it was a pleasure talking to you. We wish you nothing but the best of luck with this upcoming NFL draft. Nothing but the best of luck on the NFL level. And let's do this again.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for having me, man.
Take care.
Yes, sir.
Zebra Sanders, offensive tackle, Florida State University, as he prepares for the upcoming NFL draft. And speaking of offensive tackles, speaking of the guy who one of the best who's ever done it, let's bring him in now. Newest inductee to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the one, the only, Willie Rose. Willie, how are you, sir?
Good. You couldn't let me sit because we should wish you more good luck.
You didn't get in time. I didn't see you.
Well, I wanted to wish him good luck. Well, you know, but you have him on again, I wish him good luck.
Okay, I mean, some people have compared him to you. Some people have made that comparison. When you hear things like that, are you flattered?
You know, I'm very flattered now, you know, that that he compared guys to me. And, you know, the fact that... you guys look up to me, and you know, I was very athletic coming out of college, and I read some of his bio. You know, the key thing he's going to have to work on is making sure he works on his getting in the weight room and upper body strength and bending his knees.
Right.
We talked about this. Me and you were texting yesterday. A lot of big guys are tall guys, long guys like that. You know, in the NFL, you got to be able to bend your knees, and you got to be able to sit on the bull rush. And that's what sometimes you have a problem with when you're kind of upright, kicking backwards, and you got a guy coming right at you. You have to be able to angle your body to be able to bend down and stop that bull rush, and that's where guys have a lot of problem when they first come in the league.
And, Willie, this past week, interesting comments made by Demaryius Thomas, wide receiver of the Denver Broncos. He talked about basically like that in some respect, Tebow got more of the credit than he should have. And he also talked about he's not going to miss him. When you hear things like this, and I think we're going to hear a lot of Denver Broncos as the year go on talking about some of the same things. Well, what do you think when you hear things like this?
I mean, Tebow was there, but there's no point in talking about Tebow now. Tebow was the best option they had last year. Obviously, Kyle Orton wasn't doing well, you know, early in the season. Tebow played hard. We all know he had passing deficiencies. We watched him play last year. So it makes no sense to get there and throw him under the bus. Tebow did help them win a lot of football games last year. He made huge plays late in the games. And he did the best he could do. And I respect that about Tebow, that he plays hard. Tebow is, I'm not going to call him a diva, but he is a very transparent. You know, Tebow demands attention, very engaging young man, and he's big. You know, as far outside of football, he is the man. You know, Tebow's going to be successful if it wasn't for football. That's my point. Right. So he's going to be a successful young man. So in some ways, I think guys are a little. Jealous of Tim Tebow because of this, you know, the way he carries himself and the fact that he does, you know, Tebow's going to be real successful on or off the field. So, you know, I mean, but I hope the young man gets better, and I look forward to watching him play some more.
And I look at it this way: when you talk about Tim Tebow and Peyton Manning, to me, it's like if Roseanne Barr was your wife and you now have an opportunity at Vivica A. Fox. I mean, if you have an opportunity of Vivica A. Fox and Roseanne's your wife, of course you're going to go to Roseanne. It's an upgrade. Vivica A. Fox, of course you're going to go there because it's an upgrade. So
I'm not going to say Roseanne. I'm going to say Tebow is a woman that if she goes to the gym and works out hard and she does the right things, she can be a, you know, if you want to say, I wouldn't say Vivica A. Fox, but if you want to say a pretty girl, I wouldn't say Roseanne. I would say Tebow, the young lady that has a potential, if she does the things she wants to do, to be a good-looking woman, but it's going to take some time. And how much time it's going to take, it matters how hard she wants to hit the gym. So I wouldn't compare her to Vivica A. Fox, but I will, you know, your assessment of that is that, you know, Tebow is needs to blossom and needs to work hard, but I think guys don't really like seeing Tebow all over the media doing all this stuff. But Tebow established a lot of that stuff when he played in Florida and his character, and, a lot of people respect him, Tebow, outside of football.
And I'll say this, and you look at Tim Tebow, it's funny that you look at the whole situation. I think in some respect, we were basically applauding a guy for mediocrity in some respect. I mean, below 50% passer. I mean, he had games where he completed two passes. I mean, it's just, you know, it's almost like Lynn Sanity in some respect. I mean, we're applauding a guy. And, I mean, Lynn Sanity, Jeremy Lin had some decent numbers, but he is who he is. He's an average point guard.
But Tebow did have to make those plays late in games to win the ball games, though. So I wouldn't say it was all mediocre because, you know, for him to read the defenses, he did throw the big pass against Pittsburgh. He did have to complete passes in certain situations, and usually they were on the last drive. Now, sometimes I was a little baffled about what the defenses were trying to do in those situations, but he did have to pick it up late in the game. So I'm not going to call it mediocrity. And are the Knicks in the playoffs right now? Are they the eighth seed?
They're the seventh seed now.
Okay. If Lynn Sanity isn't there to help them win those ball games when he's playing there, they're not in the playoffs. So,
I agree with that.
So if you want to – don't take away what Tim Tebow and Lynn did, because what Lynn did was help jumpstart the process of them really getting that swagger and playing harder, you know, and I really like the way Carmelo and the team is playing now. But if it wasn't for Lynn – there wouldn't be me in this situation right now. Everybody would be talking about New York and talking about it, but now they're looking, they're in the seventh seed and they're going to make the playoffs. So, I mean, I give him a lot of credit for the way, for what he did, and he made some huge shots in some of those games.
Yeah, he did.
Late in the game. I mean, come on. Against Toronto in some of those games, and he did it back-to-back games. So I can't say it was just, I mean, the kid did impress me when he was balling.
I got to give you that. I mean, the Knicks are not in the position they're in without Jeremy Lin. I mean, he really just changed the whole culture of that team. Lin Sanity was big for the Knicks, and if without Lin Sanity, the Knicks, like you said, are not in the playoffs. And let's go on now to the New Orleans Saints. I mean, they have named Joe Vitt as the interim head coach for the season, but Vitt is going to be missing the first six games of the season, so it should be interesting how they take care and how they plan that situation out. But do you like that hiring, Vitt as the interim coach?
Yesterday I was leaving the gym and somebody told me Coach Vermeer might have came in there, and you know, Coach Vermeer was great at organization. I know he's 70-some years old, but he'd keep everything intact. But if they don't want to change anything, and I guess if Parcells wasn't going to do it, if you're the head coach, you want to keep things the way they're going. So there's no point in bringing in somebody who wants to go in there for 1 year and then know they're not going to be there next year. You know, he's going to keep all his coaches together, and I think it's a good move. I mean, Joe Vitt's going to pretty much just be the – he's going to be an overseer or lead the meetings, but really Smagnolia and whoever one of the offense is going to be calling the plays. So he's just going to be overseeing everything, making sure everything runs smooth this year, basically.
And you look at it, I mean, yeah, I know Sean Payton is suspended for the year, but let's be honest. How are you going to police and how are you going to know whether or not Sean Payton is talking to his coaches? I mean, he's still probably maybe devising game plans from his home.
Yeah, I don't know. And another thing they're probably going to watch, Sean Payton doesn't live in New Orleans. I mean, when he decided last year, a year or two ago, and people got on him a little bit because he was commuting back and forth to Dallas. You know, his family lives in Dallas. So I don't know how much, you know, how that's going to work with him, his living situation. But I'm pretty sure if he doesn't have any interaction with the team, I think he's going to be in Dallas. I don't think he's going to be in New Orleans. So I think that's going to make it a little difficult for him if he's not in that city. I mean, he can talk, but he's not going to, you know, he's not going to be able to watch all the film and do all that stuff from home. I mean, he's going to have to watch film and break it down. I mean, it's kind of complicated doing that. You need to be in the facility where you have access to everything to be able to do that. So, he's going to be able to watch film, but not like he can as a coach.
Right.
Not unless he's going to somebody's facility doing it.
We're talking to 11-time Pro Bowl, newest member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, newest inductee, I should say, to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the great Willie Rolfe. And Willie, we talked about this issue numerous times on the show. Warren Sapp came out last week. He filed for bankruptcy. We had the situation with Bryant McKinney, took a loan out, $4 million. They're going after him for that money. When you look at this stuff and to me, I look at it, and anytime you go from the top to the bottom and back to the bottom again, it's a sad, sad story. And all the money that these guys make, it's just no excuse to lose this money. When you see things like this, I mean, what goes through your mind?
You know, I just, you know, it's a situation. Let's look at it this way, Paul. I mean, these guys know it's coming. It's like, you know, I came from a family where I had two professionals there helping me find a financial planner. Well, if I get all my money after taxes delivered straight to me, and I have access to going to an account and getting it or financing, or it's plenty of times that I wanted to say I wanted to go to Belize and buy something or thought about doing stuff. Well, I got to go to them and ask them permission to talk to them before I can do that, okay? But when you give a kid the money, and then, you know, in the Brian McKinney situation, he's still playing, but I heard stories about, you know, he had 15, 20 people staying with him or living with him or, you know, spending money. I seen him in the club with, you know, 15 girls, 20 people. You know, when you buying drinks and doing that stuff on a regular basis and spending money with all these people around you, I mean, it's like leeches. They're going to bleed them dry, you know, and it's sad. But somebody's got to be able to talk to these guys, or they have to realize at some point, I'm not going to play football forever or sports forever. I need somebody that's going to help me organize and get myself together and put me on a budget and not let me go, like we talked about, buy a record label, buy a restaurant, buy a clothing line, because it's one out of a million of that stuff's going to work. So
right. Let's
cancel that out. That's not going to work. You know, unless you're talking about going and buying a franchise that's not going to cost a lot, like a, you know, Subway or something like that, but you're not going to bring in a whole bunch of income with one of those. So you need liquid cash in the bank. Put yourself on a budget. Don't go buy all these cars and houses. And then let the money grow. I mean, that's the only way you're going to be able to do it. And as much money these guys are making, you know, it's no point, you know, it's no reason to go wasting your money and spending all your money. But the problem is they don't have anybody there to help them organize. Look at Michael Vick, perfect example.
Right.
He gets himself in trouble. He gets a group of people around him monitoring him, putting him on a budget. Also, he had to pay all that stuff back. And now Michael Vick is out of the red this year, you know. So it's just organization and you being disciplined enough and listening to people and not letting yourself get put in a situation. But when you give a kid access to all the money and they control the money and they're going and signing for all this stuff, and a lot of what happened to Warren Sapp happened to a lot of guys. Even Reggie White. I knew stories of Reggie White. Those guys thought they were going to go and develop this land on the golf course and put this housing community around it, and everybody's going to buy these lots. And, you know, when everything turned bad or the lots aren't selling, and you stuck with the more, when you got the money, you're the one who's signing co-signing everything. So even
right.
you might be investing with a group of people. Well, what happened with a lot of guys is they were the ones signing, you know, they had to take the real co-sign signature because the other people you're working with don't have the money. So at the end of the day, the whole project is left on your doorstep. And then
right.
the bank didn't want to hear, well, you're not selling the lots or you're sitting on the strip mall and you can't fill it up. The bank wants their money. So
right.
I think that happens. A lot of guys are getting in trouble thinking about doing these huge projects, but they're taking a brunt of it when it doesn't pan through.
And you look at Brian McKinney, there were reports that he ran up a $100,000 bar tab. He's denied these reports, but there were reports that he did that. So, I mean, to your point, I mean, $100,000 bar tab. And again, he's denied it, but at the same time, if that happened, if it's not $100,000, it might be close to it.
Okay.
So,
let's say he's got a. Another thing. I got one credit card. It ain't got no $100,000 limit on it, Paul. You know what I mean? I got a credit card and a debit card, okay? You give these guys these platinum VIP cards, which I know, you know, which you got unlimited resource, unlimited amount of money you can charge on it. Well, like you said, at the end of the month, you go run $100,000 or $50,000 or $80,000 bar tab up, you got to pay that credit card bill.
Right.
You know, if you don't pay that credit card bill, you know the interest rate is high on that. just like that loan. And you think about it. If the kid is making seven a year, whatever he's making, and he needs a $4 million line of credit to go into the season in case of the lockout, that doesn't make any sense. Either way, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. I mean, but, yeah, no matter how you slice it, it just doesn't make much sense. And it's just, it's sad. I mean, I think that's the only word you can use for it is sad. And it's a lot of guys who are naive and believe that in some respect this money will last forever. And it's, I mean, if you never seen that kind of money before in your life and you get it for the first time in your life, I mean, sometimes you're going, money brings that side of people out. It brings some crazy things out of people, and people do crazy things with money and because of money. And so, again, it's just sad. To me, it's just
okay, Paul, but let's be realistic, Paul. I can see if it was his first 4 or 5 years in the league, okay? That's where I can see you, okay, his first contract, well, damn, I'm gonna get out here, I'm going to kick it, I'm going to have fun. But once you're a vet, once you've been in the league and you're going on, you know, 27, 28, 29 years old, it's time to start trying to conserve and trying to realize this is around me. And it's not like we're talking about the 1960s, 70s where guys are making $100,000, a couple hundred thousand. We're talking about guys making, you know, upwards from, you know, $1 million, $2 or $3 million to $5, $6, $7 million a year. So, or however they break it up, signing bonus salary, whatever, you know. I mean, what was his base salary? Was $5, $6 million when he got cut. I mean, and Brian McKinney takes out a $4 million loan. Well, in off season, he ain't working out, so he shows up at 400 pounds. That's why they released him. You know, Brian McKinney's a good player, but they showed up. You know, that's your job. So that tells you what he was doing that offseason. He wasn't worried about playing football. And so, I mean, it's not – I mean, you got to realize what's going on around you. You got to listen to people at some point. You know, but Brian McKinney knows what he's been doing.
Right.
One step, I don't know, you know, with the child support situation or whatever. And it's a shame that these, you know, a woman needs $10,000, $20,000 to take care of a baby, but – you know, in certain states, that's what's happening. And I'm on my oldest. I got 2 more years left with her. You know, I got four kids, 3 moms, so I can't talk. But I pay my child support every month. You know, that's the last thing I want to worry about. But what I'm saying is, you know, it's them not thinking and them not having anybody monitor them. You have to. More important than your marriage, which doesn't normally last, especially for athletes, the most important decision you're going to make as a football player or a professional athlete is making sure you take care of your business on that draft day and who you hire to do your finances.
Right.
For professional athletes, the most important decision they're going to make in their life after they become a professional athlete is who they let help them monitor their money and help them do their finances to make sure these guys don't get in trouble.
And that's a great, great point. And to your point, and we'll leave it here, but to your point, Reuben Studdard, American Idol fame, recently got divorced, but he had a prenup in place, which saved a lot of his money. So, I mean, you got to be smart about who you marry. You got to be smart about who handles your finances. And thank goodness for Reuben Studdard, he was able to do some things to protect himself in case of a divorce, and kudos to him, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. And you need a prenup, and I don't know how long Reuben Studdard has been married, but, you know, I don't think it's been that long, and I heard about this too. But like you said, Reuben Studdard wasn't married as long. And Reuben Studdard's career has really just kind of gone off to a great start. I don't know what kind of money Reuben Studdard's made. He hadn't made that many albums. My favorite song he did is the remake Superstar, the Luther Vandross remake. He did an absolutely wonderful job on that. But, you know, you got divorce. You got child support. You signed up for businesses. You have IRS, you know, guys not paying all their taxes, or the government coming and trying to get them for another percent of their taxes. Then we haven't got to the point of you talking about your family asking you for money. A lot of these guys come from families that don't have a lot, and they got them pulling on them all the time. So So, you know, before we talked about all that, we haven't even got to the guys playing that are spending money and they're playing in the league. So when you're playing ball, you're not really keeping up with things the way you should while you're playing. And in the offseason, you're running around the country to parties and different functions. So, you know, if you don't stay on top of it, Paul, it can be a slippery slope, and it will happen if you don't have someone there that is advising you, that's keeping track of you, that's really doing their job and making sure your taxes are taken care of, especially your taxes, because you get a lot of penalties on that. It's crazy, too. So if you don't have anybody there that's keeping you organized, making sure your bills are paid every month, you know, and making sure that you're saving money, keeping you on a budget, then it's easy to get in serious trouble.
And we'll leave it right there. Willie, it was a pleasure talking to you, man. We wish you nothing but the best of luck, and as always, we'll do it again.
All right, thanks, man. And Tom Benson got to go ahead and get Drew Brees a contract. He just bought the Hornets for $338 million, so I think he can pay Drew Brees $20 million a year.
I think so, and they'll get it done.
Okay.
All right,
thanks,
take care. You can listen to this show and other great shows at blogtalkradio.com/begin, where you can listen to this show and other great shows. For everybody here at GoFort, thank you for listening. Have a great day. See you later. And bye.